Australian diplomatic staff in Israel have reported serious mistreatment of Australian activists involved in attempting to breach Israel's naval blockade of Gaza. The claims of maltreatment also included physical beatings. It now appears that all seven Australian citizens have been deported from Israel to Jordan. A spokesperson for Foreign Minister Penny Wong said the government was pleased that they have been released from detention. James Bale asked Associate Professor Srinjoy Bose from the University of New South Wales how the flotilla could have expected to be able to break through the Gaza blockade.
Not just the Israeli Navy, the Israeli administration. Their strategic motive is to punish people who disagree with Israel and are outspoken about the genocide against Palestinians. Individuals such as the Minister of National Security, Ben-Gvir, repeatedly conflated Hamas with Palestinians, the implication being all Palestinians are terrorists. By extension, their logic is that anyone who supports Palestinians and or speaks out against the Israeli genocide is a supporter of terrorism, thereby giving them the necessary justification to detain activists, peace activists, who were part of the Sukkot flotilla. So that's the overall strategic rationale.
Would Israelis' use of torture tactics, which were in the report, so there was physical violence, no access to bathrooms, would this be considered a war crime?
This entire episode detracts away from the genocide against Palestinians and the treatment of Palestinians in Israeli prisons, more often than not without charge, without trial, right? The treatment of Palestinians in and Palestinian children in Israeli prisons is now well documented. The use of torture, sexual assault is commonplace, which would be in contravention to the human treatment of prisoners, regardless of whether they are charged as prisoners of war or otherwise. So that's, I think, the real issue.
Also in this report, it was claimed that a Israeli soldier tore up the passport of one of the Australian activists. So how would a country hypothetically respond to that?
I suppose what this demonstrates is that consular support by nations is paramount. The Australian administration is responsible for its citizens overseas. In other words, whether the administration agrees or disagrees with the viewpoints and, in this instance, the actions of peace activists who are part of the flotilla, Australia is responsible to its citizens. So what it needs to do with regard to allegations of torture or human rights abuse, of destruction of passports, which is government property, Australia needs to obviously ensure its citizens are protected from those harms, potential or real.
How can the Australian government respond further to what's happening beyond destruction of government property?
In a way, this is a result of the international community allowing the state of Israel to get away with crimes against humanity at scale. This is an extension of that, an extension of the international community's complicity. What that means is if you've allowed Israel to get away with genocide, crimes against humanity, they will feel the confidence to get away with other sorts of wrongdoing, which includes the mistreatment of Australian peace activists. I'm not entirely sure the Australian government and administration is now in a position to do much because they have allowed the Israeli state to get away with much, much worse.
Associate Professor Srinjoy Bose, Associate Professor in International Relations at the School of Social Sciences, University of New South Wales, speaking there with James Bale.